Welcome to Word Time. This is Coach Shelby with Coach for Christ, and I've got an ever-important message for you today. And the message that I'm going to bring to you today concerning relationship, and more specifically marriage, as it is a type and a shadow and a reflection of our relationship with Christ. And yes, I mean that both ways. It is a type and a shadow reflection of a relationship with Christ, or the lack thereof. And I want to speak to you from my heart today. And when I say from my heart is wicked and no good according to the word of God in the book of Jeremiah. But I tap into the heart of the Father, for he is my heart. He is my everything. And through faith in Jesus Christ, him crucified, risen from the dead, and by asking for the power of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of Almighty God to present this word, I'm going to ask you too, my brother and sister, to dig into this word, to take some notes. And I'm going to ask you not to just take my word for it. For we got far too many people willing to trust a man when we should be trusting the man of God, the word that became flesh, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We have a responsibility to study to show ourselves approved. And I'm not just going to shout out 10,000 scriptures today, because the men of old, when they preached the gospel as the word was being written, they were moved by the inspired word of God that came straight from the heart of the Father, the Holy Ghost, that was breathing upon them as they spoke. They only spoke what they heard, no different than Jesus when he walked the earth. Amen? But any word that is spoken that does not directly line up with the word of God should be rebuked, shunned, turned away from. Amen? And it should be exposed. So I'm coming from that point today. I want to stir you. And one man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That's what happens here. That's what the word of God's fixing to do. It's going to enlighten you to some things in a society that it's far too liberal, too easy, too quick to move on. If Jesus had the same attitude we have, ain't none of us would be saved. For every one of us have broken every commandment of God, including the ultra commandment of adultery that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which is not grounds for removal whatsoever. For if it were, each of you and myself would be burning in hell today, because God has forgiven us of that very sin. Amen? So praise God, I'm fixing to read the word of God to you. Actually, I'm going to speak the word of God to you as I hear it, just as Jesus said, and I only speak what my Father says. But to get you ready to go, we're going to listen to a song by Eddie B, Spiritual Fathers. Praise God. Tune in. Get ready. Let's go in Jesus' name. praise God. Where are the fathers? Amen. Where are the fathers in the name of Jesus? Where are they at? Well, a father is someone who believes the Word of God, walks in the Word of God, puts his faith and trust exclusively in Jesus Christ, and is led by the Spirit of God. He's done leading God, but he takes God at his word. He fears God, for a wise man fears the Lord, and he fears the commandment of God, which is every jot and tittle of the Word of God. He takes nothing for granted, but he takes it for absolute truth, for it is the heart of God. Jesus Christ. You see, we can't just take a leg and an arm, but we take both legs and both arms. We can't just take an ear, but we take both ears. We take the body of Christ, the Word of the living God who became flesh in John 1:14, and we bring it to you today concerning the subject of these marriages that we're talking about. Now, in today's society, as I've said and I've already alluded to, it's far too easy, and many times that as we walk into the church, we see men and women that are married over and over again, and we've set that as an idol, as an example, that this is the way, that if things are not working out, that you just trade one in and you go to another. Now, I want to preface this again, and I want to say this. I'm not God. I'm not God. And when I speak this message, I need you to understand that I preach it from a position of caution, more cautious, more conservative, more on the side of error and truth. And that doesn't even make sense. But speaking truth, but being cautious, not giving people a license just to move on is what I'm trying to say. So I'm going to stay on the side of fighting harder for what's right, of doing what's right. I must stand in that position. And if God gives you the okay by the Holy Ghost to move on, then so do it. Be as he leads you. But make sure that it's scriptural, because you can easily be deceived by this. And God never contradicts his word. And I hope everything that I just made sense to you. I'm speaking from a side of cautiousness. I'm speaking from a side of fear. And one thing that I can tell you, my brother and sister, that if you're going through a problem or you're going through a divorce or whatever, I can tell you this, that if you believe what I'm about to speak to you and you stay by yourself and Jesus is enough, you've done well. You see, you're not going to be in trouble with God because you didn't go on and marry. But you could be in trouble with God if you go on and marry, and that's not what God has called you to. Amen? So in the book of Corinthians chapter 7, the old famous word of God that we all like to stand on because it gives us kind of what we want. And I'm going to go ahead and get the verse out of the way that comes to mind that many of you have been told. And in verse 15, it says, "But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart, for a brother or sister is not under bondage in such a case. But God has called us to peace." Now, we usually stop right there, but many of you that are listening, you've read the Bible, and if you hadn't, you need to start, and you need to understand the context of the scripture at hand. Because when you go back to verse 1, it says in 1 Corinthians 7 and 1, "Now concerning the things which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." So he begins by speaking of being single. Now, why is that important, Coach Shelby? Why are you saying that? Because now we understand the context of the book, and we can go all the way back to the first chapter if you wanted to, but for time's sake, I'm going to leave that to you. If it's important to you, you'll study as the Holy Spirit leads you, and he will lead you if you begin to dig into the Word. And in verse 16, it says, "Now, I started in 15, I went back to 1, speaking that Paul was saying it is good to be this way." But it goes on to say, "But this is not for every man." And it says in verse 2, and I know I'm bouncing back a little bit, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each one have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to the wife affection due her, likewise also the wife to her husband. That the wife does not have authority over her body, but the man," and so on and so on and so on. Okay? Now, let's move on again, as I just tried to do when I bounced back there. After verse 15, as I'm reading 15, I'm going to go on into 16. It says, "But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart, a brother or sister's not under bondage in such a case. But God has called us to peace." Now, the next verse is what negates 1 Corinthians 7:15, that far so often, including myself, people have spoken, that if the unbeliever departs, there's no covenant anyway. They don't believe in the things of God, and the proof is in the fruit, according to Matthew 7. If there's no fruit of the kingdom of God, then we're not under bondage in such a case, because God does not call us to be unequally yoked, but he calls believers to come together. Now, as I get ready to read 16, you need to understand something. This shows you, mom and dad, it shows you and your children, how important it is to teach on a relationship with Christ. Because a relationship with Christ is not disposed of. It is never ended. Even in your adulterous trials, in your flirting with the world, in your love for sin, Jesus is still only a whisper away. Now, I know we have scripture that says there are some that he has removed himself from and he's turned them over to a reprobate mind. But if you're listening to this message, you're not one of those. And so just as Jesus is relentless to stay there and never leave you nor forsake you, even in some of your 10, 20, 30 years of sin, even in your adultery towards God and your desire for the things of the world, he was only a whisper away that when you're willing to repent, which he gives you your spirit, his spirit, the Holy Spirit, to lead you out, praise God. That's the evidence that you're even listening, that you have a desire. That is the evidence that Jesus forgives for these things. So if marriage on earth is a type and a shadow and a reflection of our relationship with Jesus Christ, and indeed it is, for we are the bride of Christ, and the bridegroom returns for his bride, then why should we not be demonstrating what the bridegroom demonstrates towards us, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave himself in Romans 5:8 when you were yet still sinners? Now, I know this is hard, and I know it's tough, and I've even made the statement before that you know what, I could forgive for just about anything but adultery. I've said that before. I have. But the more I thought about that, and the more God has allowed that to marinate and chew on that, he said, what if I had the same mentality, the same attitude you have? You'd be burning in hell today, and so would everyone that you know. For all of you have committed spiritual adultery against me. Every time that you decided to go to a movie, every time you decided to go here or go there, and you did not spend time with me, you turned your back on me, and you chose the world, your job, your career, your friends, your family over me, you are an adulterer at heart. Jesus said, if you've even thought about it, even if you didn't actually do it, you done it. See, this adds a different stance to those that are quick to move on. Let me tell you something. Never, 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 never give up until God says give up. Until God says, I'm done with this, move on, and he will give you a word of God to back up what I'm speaking. You know, I've had these thoughts, and I speak from personal experience here, and I'm going, don't I deserve a happy life? Don't I deserve this? Don't you deserve that? Haven't we all been there? Anybody listening can understand what I'm talking about. No, you don't even deserve Jesus Christ, yet he saved you anyway. If you put your trust and faith in him, and if you never had another man, if you never had another woman, and if Jesus is not enough, If number one is not enough for you, then you have a problem. I have a problem with my salvation and my relationship with Jesus Christ. Once again, I'm not telling you, move on, don't move on, this, that. I'm not speaking of the details. I don't know the details. But what I do understand today that I did not understand not so long ago is I understand forgiveness to a level that I could not comprehend. And yet it's only a fraction. It's only a crumb of the forgiveness of God. Did you hear that? It's only a crumb that fell on the floor. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Oh, hallelujah. It's only a crumb of the forgiveness that God has shown me on a day-to-day basis. It's only a crumb. And who are you, old man or old woman, to not demonstrate that same kind of forgiveness and love? And I'm not asking you, I'm not telling you to put yourself in harm's way if there's a physically harmful situation. No. That's not what I'm saying. Not even if there's a mentally harmful situation. Not telling you that. What I'm speaking to you on is the understanding of forgiveness that you cannot understand until you've been in the presence of God and truly understand what he has given you and done for you. And if you can't understand that, the Bible says that if you do not forgive, then neither will I forgive you before the Father, which is in heaven. That's pretty clear where you will spend eternity. I don't know what they've done to you. I do not. Maybe you should not be under the same roof. But I do know this. It's not a license to go jump out of the car and go find another. Because you're going to be in the same mess you were. And if Jesus just jumped out of the car and went and found another, you'd be in hell right now. I'd be burning in hell right now. So never, 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 never quit. Now in verse 16 that I wanted to get to a while ago, praise God, and the Holy Ghost detour was necessary. It says, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Now let's go back, because the context of the scripture that it's used in the church today, and about half the pastors have been married more times than you can count. A flavor of the week. The evangelist in town has got somebody new. No, it's not a new hairdo, folks. Hallelujah. It's not a dye in the hair. It's a different one. Sadly. And this is the demonstration. It's we say, well, they're happy and they got it all worked out. So why shouldn't I? I mean, after all, we're having some struggles. Let me help you. You're going to have some struggles. You're going to have some struggles in this life. It's going to happen, period. Jesus said so. That's not the grounds to move on. That's not the grounds to go into another honeymoon period and then find out in all reality all hell is broken loose and the blessing of God has been removed because you've never shown any perseverance or any trust in God to demonstrate what he's demonstrated towards you and towards me. Now, I ain't scolding nobody. I'm speaking. And I'm speaking, I'll be honest with you. Can I be real with you? I'm speaking what I don't want to speak. I don't want to talk about it. Why? Because our human nature, the sin nature, the seed of Satan, has us convinced that we can move on and do better things. We can have joy. We can have peace. We can have... No! These things are found within the bridegroom. Your marriage is with Jesus Christ. And if it be his will to send another, depending on the particular situation, that will never go against God's word. Let it be his will. Let it be his word. Let it be his leading. Not ours. Did you hear what I said? Let it be his leading. Some of you are so convinced. We have counsel out there counseling people contrary to the word of God because they're using their personal experience of what they've experienced, maybe an awful relationship, maybe an awful marriage, and they use that to cookie cut how they counsel somebody else. Instead of going to the word of God and removing yourself from the equation. You see, my Bible says I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see, but I'm moved by what I believe. And I believe the word of God. And we've got to stop this and we got to shut it down and we got to preach the gospel and we got to teach the saints of God to hunker down, to believe God and stand on God's word. And if they're in an unsafe situation, to go to the place that God provides for them and pray and watch the power of God break this situation. Let me tell you something. There's nothing too hard for my God. I said, there's nothing too hard for my God. If God can save the pimp, the prostitute, the crack addict, the alcoholic, the man that's bound up in prison, the demoniac, if God can set him free, don't tell me he can't set your situation free. Because if he can't, then you're not headed to the same place that the men and women of God are headed to, which is the kingdom of God, which is within us, which is the reason why you have the mindset that you have and that I have had. Once again, this is not a scolding for anyone listening. This is me ministering to myself and sharing with the world because they need to hear this. I said, because you need to hear this. So in 1 Corinthians 7, 15 and 16, let's do it again. For those that are slow learned, it's like the word is like a hammer. It's like a fire and a hammer, according to the book of Jeremiah, according to God Almighty who wrote it, that smashes the rock to pieces. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such a case. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? So your chaste, righteous conduct in your walk with the Lord, even if it's in a separated status, just may break the callous place of the heart of the unbelieving spouse, and they just may be saved. But if you move on, and God has not called you to such, then you could have just damned that spouse that you had actually made a commitment before God, a vow before God that says, to death do we part, for better or for worse. Let me say it again, for worse. You know, we like the better part. Well, I don't like this part. Let's just be real. Or for worse. Let me say it again. Yeah, some of you not. Or for worse. Oh, hold on. Somebody, I said, or for worse. Till death do you part. That was a vow made before God, not just to another human being. Well, my spouse wasn't an unbeliever. Nevertheless, God is the one who ordained marriage. He did it back in the Garden of Eden, and you stood before God and made a vow whether your spouse was a believer or not. And your job is if they're acting like a knucklehead, and if you're separated because there is physical harm or mental harm going on in that place, your job is to get down on your knees, hunker down with your real husband, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of the living God, and let him direct your steps, and he ain't directing you into somebody else's bed. Let me just get real and honest with you. Praise God. That was a good place to my praise God. Somebody just got their spiritual toes stepped on. Because I know the flesh is offended. Because I don't like it either. But I love my God and I love the word of God. And I will apply the word of God. And I don't care how I feel. Because sometimes surgery is necessary. Because the lack of the word of God going out into the world today from those who profess to be men of God. And truly they may be men of God. But in this area there is lack of discernment. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And they're quick to tell us to move on. They're quick to tell us to give us what we... Oh, God wants you to be happy. Show me that. He wants you to be happy while you're getting your head sawn off. He wants you to be happy while you're getting crucified. Well, I guess that if you want to say that you can be happy during that, praise God. I agree. He wants you to be happy, but he doesn't promise you your best life now. He doesn't promise you it's going to go well every day with you. He promises that you'll be delivered to kings and governors, and he says, I'll give you what to say in that hour. Backing up to verse 12. Let's go back all the way back to 10. Let's read a little bit. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the ever famous move on passage that's shared by counselors and preachers around the world, which is speaking to the idea of singleness, not of leaving a marriage to find another. Amazing. And in verse 10, now to the married I say, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. Reconciled. Didn't Jesus on the cross of Calvary shed his blood that we may be reconciled unto the Father? Are we not talking about a marriage to God here? Are we not talking about a reflection of marriage in our earthly marriage here that should glorify God? To be reconciled, to change, exchange, reestablish, restore relationships, to make things right, to remove the enmity, the hatred. Five times the word refers to God's reconciling us to himself through the life, death, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:10, 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, and you could go on and on and on. Whether speaking of God and man or husband and wife, this describes the reestablishment of a proper, loving, interpersonal relationship which has been broken or disrupted. Let them be reconciled to their husband. So now when you tie what I've just read to you back into 16, how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Now go back to verse 11. Even if she or he, I'm paraphrasing, putting this together, departs, let them remain unmarried or be reconciled. Well, this is rocket science, ain't it? No, it's greater than that. It's the word of God. I said it's greater than that. It's the word of God. I said it's greater than that. It's the word of God. Let them be reconciled. And during the reconciliation period, there's not a time here. There's no time here. There's no get by free card. And I know what some of you are thinking. Listen, I've done it too. Come on now. Because I know I've had every thought you haven't. And the Pharisees were talking to Jesus. And Jesus answered their question about divorce. And he said, because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses gave them a certificate of divorce. Now, examine that right there. You go look it up. Yeah, you go look it up. Come on. It's time that we grow up, put on our spiritual pants, brothers and sisters. Put on your spiritual overalls, go to work, start digging in the Word of God, and watch the Holy Ghost start revealing things to you. Put on the mind of Christ. Believe the Word of God. And he says, because of the hardness of your hearts, that Moses granted them a certificate of divorce. Can I help you? Did you hear something about hardness of hearts? Do you know it's the hard-hearted are not going to make the kingdom of God? Isn't it amazing how we use Scripture? If you're hard-hearted, you're not going to make the kingdom of God. Therefore, if you're hard-hearted, by all means, give them a certificate. Get on with your best life now, because this truly is your best life now, because the next one ain't going to be real good. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Now, I speak that painfully. I speak that with a desire to see repentance, beginning with myself and all of those that would heed the word of God. It wasn't so from the beginning. God made them male and female, and he called them one flesh. And if it were one flesh, and I believe that because they were spiritual, they were not carnal at that time until they disobeyed God. And then there was a division in the house. And the Bible says that they shall become one flesh. I don't believe that's an error when it says that after the fall. They shall become. In other words, in Philippians 2:12, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is your salvation. This is a type and shadow of your salvation in Philippians 2:12. Work it out. Come together. Believe the word of God and let the word of God do some surgery on your flesh, on your carnal man. Let the word of God put to death the old carnal nature. Let it not rule in your mortal body. Don't run by the ways. You see, this is where we find the false gospel and false teaching. And it's so subtle. It's out there. And it's mixed with so much truth that many people, they can't discern because they have no time with God. And God is so good. Let me tell you something. God does not, I don't believe God is the reason why you may be in the situation you're in. But he might be. But even if he's not the reason why, it was your inability to work through things and put God first in your marriage or whatever the case may be. God will take the things that we do that are even anti-God for those who are willing, and he'll turn it around for good, and he will teach you something you did not know. He will show you things that you do not understand, beginning with forgiveness. Marriage and forgiveness. It is necessary. It is our flesh that stands in the way. And the spirit of the kingdom of hell rejoices because of our perversion and our quickness to turn on the ways of God. If God was like us, like a man, again, there would be none saved, not one. Not the holiest man you know, not anyone you read about in the Bible would be saved if God was even a smidgen like us. So we must believe the word of God. And in verse 12, it goes on to say, but to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. See, that shows you right there. I didn't speak of separation. If your spouse is an unbeliever and you can live in that home safely, and I've already spoke of things that were unsafe, physical harm, sexual harm, mental abuse, those things, which are grounds for separation, I believe, in my opinion. But my opinion does not count. Search a matter out. I believe that. But it's not grounds to run to another man or another woman. And it says that if the unbeliever's willing, they're willing to do their job in the home, they're willing to be there, and you can have peace, then so be it. For it goes on to say, and a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, here we go again, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such a case, but God has called us to peace. Let him depart so that there's peace, but don't use your peace as a false peace, as a crutch to move on to your best life. Use it as an opportunity for you and God to really hunker down and get close, that there may be a difference made in the unbeliever's life. Watch this. For how do you know, a wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, a husband, whether you will save your wife? The scripture is clear, my brother and sister. And I could go on, and I could go on, and I could go on. And I could only imagine that if you turned your back on Jesus Christ and he would have went on to another and forsook you, oh my goodness, there'd be no hope, there'd be no reason. Who are you and I to withhold forgiveness? I didn't say put yourself in harm's way. To a spouse or to anyone else of this world, crippling ourselves, leading to a root of bitterness, of all fear and strife and turmoil and sin in your life. Who are we? When God gives the answer of freedom, which it says to forgive and to move on. To move on how? To move on with the Spirit of the living God as he directs. And I don't literally mean to another place. I don't know that. Only God knows that. But what I mean is with God, that he will cross every T and dot every I in your life. He will show you the plan that he has for you. And how do you not know that by your chaste conduct, that God will not change the life of that very person that you've tried to move on from? Let's be the example in the life. I know you say that we're not Jesus, but if Jesus is in you, there should be a light shining. I said, if Jesus is in you, there ought to be some fruit growing. Praise God, praise God. You are the light of this world and the salt of this earth. Every good tree bears the fruit of the kingdom of God, but every bad tree bears the fruit of the kingdom of hell and will be cut down and thrown into the fire. This is a high priority and a high task. And if we cannot bring our flesh into submission because we need a man or a woman to do that, oh, God, help us. Then that indeed means our flesh is in complete control. And the word of God says that God will never glory in your flesh. We are to walk in the Spirit, not in the ways of the flesh. The carnal mind is at enmity against God, but the spiritual mind, which is the mind of Christ, aligns with the will of God in our lives. And we will extend that great forgiveness that is due to that unbelieving spouse or whoever the case may be in that relationship. This is Coach Shelby with Coach for Christ, and I've delivered you a word, and there's so much more, but I know that many cannot handle more than what I've just given them. I can go into the Old Testament and I can show you divorce. I can show you marriages. I can show you things. And as the God of the heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of the living God, reveals to me, and as he gives me the okay to share, I will do exactly as I just said. But this is Coach Shelby with Coach for Christ. You know somebody who needs to hear this, don't you? Then why are you holding back? Press down, copy the link, paste it to your contacts and your phone. Be an instrument in the hand of God. Help someone to turn their life from hell to heaven today. Help them to believe and to see the Word of God, because you're just not going to hear much of it in the pulpit, I'm sorry to say. And I'm not talking about your church. I'm just saying, the things that I'm seeing here, I have not heard, for the most part, except from a few, I said a few, men of God. In Jesus' name, blessing upon you, but blessing according to your obedience to Jesus Christ by the power of His very own Spirit. God bless you. This is Coach Shelby with Coach for Christ. Have a great Friday evening in Jesus' name.